1 Corinthians chapter 15 in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Everybody, I'm sure, is aware. Brother Jerry and Miss Sharon are brothers, our brother and sister. But probably most of you aren't aware that they had their natural arguments and disputes and things. So I heard one time they were kind of in a theological kind of argument or dispute, and Jerry finally just said, out of frustration, "Well, I just bet, Sharon, you don't even know the Lord's Prayer." Sharon said, "I certainly do." And he said, "I just bet you don't." She said, "I tell you, Jerry, I do know the Lord's Prayer." He said, "Well, let's just have a friendly wager, maybe a moon pie and an RC Cola." And she said, "Well, you're going to lose the bet because I know." He said, "I know you don't know the Lord's Prayer." She said, "Well, let me just show you. Here I go." So Sharon began, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." At that time, Jerry reached in his pocket, pulled out a $5 bill, handed it to her, and she said, "What's this for?" He said, "Well, bless God, I didn't think you knew it, but you do know the Lord's Prayer after all." Amen. So I don't believe either one knew the Lord's Prayer. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In your bulletin, you'll find a profound outline. I mean a really lengthy outline. Point number one, the old body. Point number two, the new body. Isn't that profound? The old body and the new body. But I believe you'll find more to it than that. But take that. You got plenty of room to take some notes. We've been going through this chapter. I think this most important chapter, one of the most important chapters in all the Bible. From a doctrinal standpoint, the doctrine of the resurrection and the rapture. So we have this morning's message and then this coming Wednesday, and we'll be finished with 1 Corinthians 15. This coming Wednesday night will be verses 51 to the end of the chapter, verse 58. We'll look at the rapture. This is one of the two what I call rapture chapters, the other being 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So we'll see this coming Wednesday night the conclusion of this 1 Corinthians 15, the rapture and the resurrection that we're talking about this morning. But this morning we're in verses 42 through 50, and I want to title the message, "The Perfection of the Resurrection." Interspersed in these verses, 42 through 50, you'll find the old body and then the new body in the same verse. By the old body, I mean our present physical bodies. A couple studies back, I believe I used this illustration of the Sunday school teacher with the class of little first and second graders. And so one Sunday morning in the Sunday school lesson, she posed this question to her little first and second grade class. She said, "What do I have to do to go to heaven?" She said, "Do I have to keep teaching this class?" And all of them in kind of one chorus said, "No, no." She said, "Do I have to keep singing in the church choir to go to heaven?" "No, no," they said, the little first and second graders. "Do I have to keep serving on the church committees that I'm on to go to heaven?" "No, no, no." Finally, she said, "What do I have to do to go to heaven?" There was a pause, and then little Billy in the back raised his hand. She said, "Yes, Billy." He said, "You have to die. You have to die to go to heaven." How true that is, unless we're alive at the rapture. Probably the truth of the matter is some in this room will have died before the rapture, and maybe some in this room will be alive. If the rapture were to happen before the service is over, then obviously we're all going to meet the Lord in the air while we're alive. Whether it's by death or by departure, that's how we're going to meet the Lord next, in a very spectacular moment when we'll all be changed. So notice here in these verses, beginning in verse 42. And let's pray together. Father, bless now the reading of your word, the preaching of your word by your servant. Lord, just use me today to be a mouthpiece, to echo, to preach, to share what the word of God says about the perfection of the resurrection. In Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42, the Apostle Paul says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead." Before you and I will ever have our resurrection, we've got to die. Not being morbid, the Bible says it is appointed unto man, that's all, and this is in Hebrews chapter 9, right around verse 26. It's appointed unto man, that's all inclusive, man, woman. It's appointed unto man once to die. And what? After this or that experience, the judgment. You'll never have a resurrection of your new eternal body unless what? You've died and have been buried. So he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Now look at verse 42. It is sown in corruption. So Paul's there. He's talking about there, the old body. This past Wednesday night, we saw Paul use the comparison, the analogy of our resurrected body. He compared it to the planting of like a seed. If you're a gardener out there, you probably have planted already, maybe your beans or your corn, planting those little, I guess you say corn seeds, kind of pinkish that you buy at the hardware store or wherever you buy your farming stuff. And you lay off your rows and plant those seeds. And you have to plant those seeds for them to what? To die. But in that process of dying, they germinate. And then in time, you see coming up from those planted seeds, popping up through the ground, those little green indications of what is coming, those corn stalks that end up growing and hopefully yielding ears of corn. That seed that went in the ground doesn't look at all like what comes up out of the ground from that seed, namely that corn stalk or those running green beans. So it will be with our physical bodies. Notice this idea of being sown is buried. It is sown in corruption. The human body that you and I have, that one day is going to die if we come to that point in our lives, that appointment, which we don't know when that appointment is. Monday this month, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, I have my appointment with my urologist for probably a bodily invasion procedure. That'll bless your heart right there, won't it? Tuesday, go down to Duke for a nephrology appointment. I got these times of these appointments. Wednesday afternoon, an appointment for an image, one of those MRIs or whatever. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, appointment, appointment, appointment. In fact, I had this coming Wednesday appointment, I had this past Friday. I was supposed to fast for it, and I forgot, got it made a big breakfast, so I had to call and cancel because I wasn't fasting. But our appointment with death, we don't know. We don't know the time. And aren't we glad? But one day when it happens, we'll be buried because of corruption. Right now we have physical bodies destined to die and for the grave. So notice there he's talking about the old body in that first part of verse 42. It is sown in corruption. But then look what follows is the new body in verse 42, the end of verse 42. Underline this, it is raised in incorruption. By contrast, in the resurrection, we're going to have new bodies, not destined for the grave. We're out of the grave when we resurrect, and it'll be a body that's destined for glory. So there in verse 42, we see the old body, sown or buried in corruption after it dies, but will be raised at the resurrection in incorruption. Look at verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. That's the old body. When we die, we'll be buried with that old body in dishonor. Carries the idea of disgrace or vile, V-I-L-E. Flip over to Philippians chapter 3 for a reference passage. Paul's great writing to the church at Philippi. Go through those epistles through Ephesians, and you'll come to Philippians chapter 3. Let me show you two verses. Come down to verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and the last two verses of that third chapter. Look at verse 20. For our conversation, that means our lifestyle. Our conversation is in heaven. Already, we're seated in heavenly places. The day you got saved, you got seated in heavenly places. For our conversation is in heaven. Now, notice what follows. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That means we're looking for His return. Now, look at verse 21. Who, referring to the Lord Jesus at His return, the rapture, who shall change our vile body. Now we'll pause there because at the end of the message we're coming back to Philippians chapter 3 in this 21st verse. But look at that, who shall change our vile body. Everybody say, I have a vile body. Say it. I have a vile body. That means it's in bad shape. It ain't no fun getting old. Can't get a witness right there. Listen, what ain't wearing out ain't working. Can't get a witness right there. My body's vile. Your body's vile. All God's children got a vile body. It's sown in dishonor. But one day it's going to be changed. Look at the end of verse 43. It is sown in weakness, but one day our new body is raised in power. The old body sown in dishonor, sown in weakness, but our new body will be raised or resurrected in power, which means it'll be flawless. It'll be powerful enough to overcome death, hell, and the grave. Verse 44. It is sown or buried a natural body. That's what you and I have right now, a natural, physical body, created by the genius creativity of God. But it's a natural body, which means it's going to run its course one day and die. And then it'll be buried in some cemetery. Or if you choose cremation, it'll be ashes in an urn on grandma's mantle. I don't know, but whatever it is, it's going to be resurrected one day. So look at the end of the verse. Sown a natural body, that's the old body, but then notice it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And that doesn't mean when we're resurrected we're going to be a spirit. But what it means, in essence, it'll be more spiritual than natural. the old and the new. And then he comes to verse 45. Interesting. Look at verse 45. And so it is written. What does that little phrase mean? And so it is written. Paul reaches back to something that's been already written, namely in the Old Testament. He goes all the way back to the first book in the Bible. In fact, he's quoting Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Now, why does Paul reach back to the account in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7? Look what it says. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Genesis 2, verse 7. How did that happen? God breathed into Adam. How many believe the biblical account of creation? Say amen. Talked about that in Sunday School Day. Science tries to say the world is millions of years old and all of this kind of stuff. I believe literally, I believe our world is 6,000. We're probably already into or right at that seventh 1,000, which just may very well be the time of Christ coming. God created man, Adam, the first Adam. Created him much higher and special than all other creation. Why? He breathed into him a living soul. He took on the image and likeness of God. That means we can have fellowship with God. But look what he says after that in verse 45. The last Adam. Make a note there, the last Adam, he's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. The first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That means a life-giving spirit. We're all created just like Adam. But the day you got saved, you experience what Christ had to offer, namely what? A new life. Life-giving. The Lord Jesus was made a quickening spirit. So verse 46 spins off of what he just said in verse 45. Look at verse 46. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. In other words, the natural came first, then the spiritual. We begin life under the influence of Adam's fallen nature. One day it was said Adam's little grandsons was with their grandpa Adam outside the wall, outside of the Garden of Eden, where God had to put them out. And Adam told his little grandson, your grandma ate us out of house and home. That man can't get a witness right there. We're all under the influence of Adam's fall. As a consequence of that, we all face what was one of God's supreme judgments to Adam. He dealt with all three, by the way. He dealt with Eve, he dealt with Adam, and he dealt with the serpent. There in Genesis chapter 3. But because of Adam's fall, death passed upon all mankind. But when we got saved, notice, when we got saved, we came under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and we entered into a new realm, the spiritual realm. So if you're saved today, and I trust you are, you have a natural body, but within you resides the Holy Spirit of God. So you have a natural body, but also spiritual. What came first? The natural. But we were all born with a sin nature, but the day you got saved, you got a life-changing, a quickening experience. You were made alive in Christ. So it's interesting how he reaches back to that Old Testament account. Verse 47, stay with me. The first man, that's Adam, he's still pursuing that thought. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. That has to deal with our old body. Adam, made of clay. He was earthy. He came out of the earth. God made him that way. He eventually would go back to the earth when he died. That was the first Adam, the first man. But look how the verse ends. The second man, the Lord Jesus, is the Lord from heaven. So write down, I'm going to give you three kind of sub-points here. The first thing I want you to write down, when you got saved, you had a new Lord. All of us under the influence of the first Adam, but the second man, the Lord Jesus from heaven, when you accepted him, you had a new Lord of your life. But in verse 48, write down this second thing. Not only do we have a new Lord, but look at verse 48, we have a new life. A new life, verse 48. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. We're just like Adam, born with his nature. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. We once shared in Adam's life when we were lost. We inherited his sin nature after we got saved. Now we share the life of Christ. We have a new Lord and a new life. But oh, it gets a little better. Look at verse 49. We have a new likeness. New Lord. New life. Verse 49. A new likeness. Look what he says. And as we were born the image of the earthy, just like Adam, old body, look at verse 49's ending, new body, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. There's not a thing you could have done about it. When you were born, you had Adam's nature. Under the influence of his fall, born with a sin nature. We bore Adam's likeness. But the day you got saved, and especially the day that you have your resurrection, you're going to have a marvelous, spectacular, dazzling change. Because you have a new Lord and a new life, you're going to have a new likeness. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now back to Philippians chapter 3 one more time. As I told you. Philippians chapter 3, back to that 21st verse. Remember we paused at the first part of that 21st verse. So notice it one more time in review. Who, referring to Christ, shall change our vile body. This vile, perishable, corrupt body that's also mortal. In other words, one day we're going to die from something. From a disease, from sickness, an auto accident. We have an appointment, we just don't know when it is, but it's coming if the Lord tarries, who shall change our vile body. Change. When will the change happen? That's what we'll see this Wednesday night at the rapture. What kind of change? We'll see that this Wednesday night, what kind of change. But look what follows here in Philippians 3:21. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. 3 days after Jesus died and was buried, he what? Rose from the dead. How many believe in the resurrection of Christ? Say amen. Amen. He was the first fruits. Remember a few Sundays or so ago, the first fruits, that Jewish feast of their harvest, the first fruits, the first to come forth. But after that came the main harvest. That's when you and I have our resurrection at the day of the Lord's coming. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, when you come out of the grave to be joined again with your spirit or soul that goes to be with the Lord when you die. The moment a believer dies, what happens? Yes, there is a funeral, there is a casket, there is a grave site, there is a burial, but I want to tell you, we're not going to be there. Our body, our spirit is going to be what? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. So that's why I tell you, don't walk by my casket and say, don't he look good? Because I ain't going to be there. All that's going to be there is this earthly temple. But one day, out of that grave will become this old body to join my spirit or soul to take on something magnificent that will last for all eternity, and it will be fashioned just like unto his glorious body. We'll have the same resurrected body that Jesus had and has. Fashion means it will be shaped, formed, destined to be just like his. Old body, new body. Old body is going to be will die and will have to be buried because of corruption and mortality. New resurrected body that will be gloriously changed, that will last you for all eternity. That ought to make a backslidden nun shout. Can't get a witness right there. Some of y'all look like a bump on a Rolaid this morning. Your future is brighter than you ever thought. Even in view of death, beyond the grave, there's a great getting up morning. Fare thee well, fare thee well. Verse 50 wraps it up. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, circle this verse. This wraps it up. This says it all. Look at verse 50. He hits a nail on the head. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You know what he's saying? The old bodies you and I have right now, as vile as they are, as corrupt as they are, and as much attention as we give to them. Why, today I'm wearing a sport coat. Fits me like a glove. Boy, I wanted to wear it today so I'd be looking good. It's a Joseph A. Banks sport coat. Cost me a whole $5. Found it in a thrift store about 2 weeks ago. Probably a $105 sport coat, Chris. I ain't proud. I don't even believe it was worn because the side pockets ain't even been cut. Splash on our Stetson. Put on our church-going clothes so we'd be looking good. But I want to tell you, we're really looking bad because we got vile bodies. that are going downhill fast, heading to the grave. But one day we're going to have a brand new, listen, you talk about extreme makeover, remember the program? We're going to have a supreme makeover. While I'll see Brother Richard one day in glory and say, Richard, I didn't know you could ever look so good. Because right now he's in trouble, isn't he? Amen. He's got more hair on his chin and cheeks than he has on his head. Amen. Look at that. But one day he's going to look good. Supreme makeover. This old body one day is going to have a new body. If that don't bless you, your blesser's broke. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand? How you going to do the invitation? Has he got that piped in too? There's something coming through. Are you saved today? Saved and sure? Rather fight than switch. Jesus what? Gave us new life. The old Adam gave us death. The second Adam gives us life. We have an old body that's going to die, be buried, but one day will be resurrected to what? A new body. So you see the essence of the outline today, the old body, the new body. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown because it died, but raised to have eternal life. That's our blessed hope. Where's Chris? There he is. Let's just pray. If you need to make any decision today, if you're not a Christian, never assume, even with a small crowd, that everybody's saved because they're in a Baptist church. Being a Baptist, by the way, won't save you. You got to be a born-again, blood-bought believer. Father, we pray today for what we've heard to apply it to our lives. We all have an old body that's vile, that's corrupt, this mortal. But one day we'll have a new body, incorrupt, immortal, changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when the Lord descends from heaven in the upper atmosphere, in the clouds, to call up his church in the rapture. So shall we ever be at the Lord. Thank you for that blessed hope today. Thank you for the vision that's been renewed for Park Place Baptist Church. The impossible now made possible with our future replant here with Green Street Baptist Church. Bring us out Wednesday night. We're here, 6:30, fellowship building, informal, studying the Word as we wrap up this 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen. Greet each other today as you leave. Have a blessed Sunday, Lord's Day.